wondering, what's more important, or like, we know that during the chanting, the most important is to listen to Maha Mantra. And on one seminar, I even heard that we shouldn't pray while chanting because that could influence our concentration on hearing. So I just wanted to know what's your opinion, because from my experience, when I just listen to Maha Mantra, it becomes revealing on any kind of like a general, but with the praying, it's getting more emotional. So I don't know if it's like more important to just keep on focusing on this hearing, and just don't, I don't know. But then I cannot, you know, switch off my heart or something like that. So can you tell me a little bit more about what you think about this?
Well, ultimately one can do anything while chanting, as long as it's coming from the chanting, and as long as it's spontaneous. But to be qualified to do that, one needs to know how to just chant. Like, as riding the bicycle, you can stand on the handlebars, you can stand on the seat, you can, you know, spin a top on your nose, but first you have to know how to ride the bike. And if you know how to ride the bike, then you can do anything. So the basic is to really hear, and as in the form of prayer, to hear what the Holy Name has to say. You know, devotees first start off by forcing, but trying to make things happen, and being, well, ultimately to come to just being very relaxed and not sort of manipulating obliging so many things to manifest, but to just hear and really see what it is that the Holy Name is telling us. The Holy Name is Krishna. And so if we listen attentively, then Krishna will tell us individually what we should be doing, how we should be doing. And particularly, then we'll really be able to hear. And if one hears, then naturally, if one knows how to hear, then it will be natural. Other aspects of chanting will manifest. I mentioned that not long ago. No, but Goswami sort of sets the standard. He says, Tunde Tundavali Ratim Vitanati Tundavali Labde Karma Kroda Kalambani Gutati Karma Vulayaskudam Chaita Pangana Sangini Vijayati Savindriyana Kritim Najana Janita Kiyati Ramita Krishna Yavarna Dvayi. Because I don't know how much nectar there is in two syllables, Krishna Varnam Vali. Varnam means, also means syllable. Krishna Varnam, Krishna Krishna. Krishna Varnam. I don't know how much nectar is in the two syllables, Krishna, but when we chant it, we want millions of tongues, and when we hear that name, then we want millions of ears. And the end result is that when the Holy Name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers all the senses. Sarvindriyana, Vijayati, Sarvindriyana, conquers all the senses, and all the senses become inert. So that's the real effect of chanting, is that it isn't that one gets tired or bored, but the taste ultimately increases so much that completely satisfied. One can just sit and chant without moving. One has so much attraction for the holy name, and also that the mind and the senses, they become, as he says, inert. One has complete control by the influence of the holy name. Then one has complete control of one's mind and senses. So that's hearing. Rupa Goswami says this is what the hearing is about. Lord Chaitanya heard that. They were very pleased with that verse. Hare Krishna. Good morning. About meditating on one's Swarup while chanting, he said, just write the Maha Mantra on a piece of paper, just meditate on the syllables of the mantra, and then your Swarup will come naturally, spontaneously. And we're not chanting for feeling. We're chanting to praise Krishna, to please Krishna, and as we get naturally close to Krishna, then automatically bhava or feeling will come. Bhava madhavagni vatanam saratmasnapanam. Heart becomes cleansed, then all the bhavas that come. Their bhava means material existence. Something else on that?
Thank you. Completely different subject. I heard the other day a very similar devotee told to another that we should always be doubtful. That makes us inquisitive, and then we shouldn't make any conclusions because we should always inquire. So for me, that sounds like more like lack of faith, or is it like developing spiritual intelligence? But what is spiritual intelligence, or what do you think about his statement?
That we should always be doubtful.
Yeah, I kind of like find it strange that he said.
And Krishna says, for the doubting soul, there's never any happiness in this world or the next. You can doubt in the beginning when it comes to Krishna consciousness, but ultimately doubts become satisfied by the truth. And questioning, and to want to know more and more about Krishna, and Krishna consciousness, and philosophy, that's good. Certainly, we should question. And if there's something that we don't understand, or even if it may be that there's something that we doubt about what someone says, because it doesn't necessarily match with what someone else said, or what we've read, then that's also all right.
Isn't it also that it seems to me a little like intellectual pride, that you're proud of your intelligence and you want to hear yourself speak and discuss and exchange and philosophize to satisfy that, to gratify the intelligence?
Yes, because like, I was find themselves like very intelligent, they're always like asking, even though that it's like, so this is why I wanted to ask you, is like, what is this spiritual intelligence, if it's like, it's different from mundane, so it's applying process and
Vijnana, spiritual intelligence ultimately means that you serve, you find out what does Krishna want from me, and then I serve Krishna. And Yeah, like we just philosophize for no real purpose and to challenge everything that I hear, that may not be a good attitude. But rather accepting authority, Krishna says, and this is my opinion. All right, well, if something's Krishna's opinion, that's good enough for me, whether I understand it or not. And like Brother Stevenson says, intellectual arrogance means that we really think that we can understand everything. But
is there also the premise of academia that everything should be questioned and challenged, that everything, presenting arguments, is a sign of intelligence? I mean, isn't that one of the foundational elements of academia?
Constantly questioning, but there's a premise there that actually you cannot understand everything, and that's not necessarily so.
What you just said was quite defining difference between the spiritual and the material. Intelligence that the academics expect that you never.
Well, academics.
There is a conclusion of truth, is always another. That you don't know it.
Academics or other speculators, Gyanis, so on, that they actually think that they have the resources and the faculties to really understand the absolute truth, and understand part of it, but to really grasp everything about God, it's arrogant. So even Lord Brahma, after he got humbled, then he said some people may say that they understand Krishna, but as far as I can say, Krishna is beyond my understanding. And if we recognize that, that's why ultimately this questioning, it needs to really come down to service, because only by service that you please Krishna, and Krishna reveals himself, and revelation is something that goes beyond your own intellectual, empirical abilities. It's getting something that you otherwise cannot get. It's revealed, something's revealed, and Krishna reveals himself. Ultimately, a real devotee is a servant. And ask, but they got to do.